This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime, the college football betting podcast, which I highly recommend, will join us as we will get ready for college football. You know, it felt like if you live on the East Coast, and I guess around the country, it's a little cooler here on a Sunday where you wake up, you feel a little bit of a breeze, and even though it's still the middle of July, you're thinking about maybe putting a hoodie on. It's just you can feel football in the air, you can sense football, even though still got another week or two left in July. Football is right around the corner, and now that the World Cup has come and gone, and look, the World Cup did its job, and I'm going to miss it more than I thought I would when it started. I've been using this term 100 times. I guess I'll use it 101. It was a great companion. It was a great companion to have. End of Nick Spurs until the Hall of Fame game early August. There's that gap. Like, man, when's football getting here? Baseball's good, but baseball, you know, can be a little tedious for some people. Some people just aren't into it at all, even though I'm somebody that is into it. But it's been great. 104 matches and just a lot of fun, a lot of exciting matches. And it was a lot of, it was just a great companion, a great filler for the summer. But we move on to college football, and you know, for a lot of people, college football, as we get to the odds here in a minute, we'll get Tim Murray's over under wins, futures, conferences. For a lot of people, college football, it's like you have to start from scratch every year. And there's some of this, there's a lot of this with college basketball too, or, you know, growing up, at least my age in the 90s and people older than that, 70s and 80s, you know, you went into a college basketball season and you knew a lot of the guys, you knew a lot of the top 5 or 10 players because the guys stayed. Now the guys don't stay in college basketball, and college football is not much better, where it feels like every year it's just putting a bunch of names in a hat and you pull out and you're just like, all right, this guy's on that team, this guy's on this team, and you have to start over basically. But this year is not really the case. I mean, you just look at the odds board and some of the Heisman numbers, you recognize right away a lot of these players first off, and you know what teams are on and you know what position they're playing. There's a lot of marquee quarterbacks returning, whether it's Dante Moore coming back to Oregon, and he might have been a top 2 or 3 pick last year, might have been the second pick if he came out. Ohio State, Julian Sain, the quarterback, CJ Carr, the quarterback for Notre Dame, and there's a lot of really good quarterbacks too, not only returning ones, but you know, those kind of go hand in hand. Arch Manning at Texas, Stockton at Georgia, Mateer was in a playoff last year with Oklahoma, you know, Dampier at Utah. There's just a lot of names you recognize. Underwood at Michigan, Jeremiah Smith, the receiver for Ohio State. So there's just a lot of familiarity. There's a lot more recognition than it was two years ago, 3 years ago, where you just felt like you had to start from a blank canvas almost, which can be frustrating. Not only is it better, and it can be, you know, lead to some opportunities to better, but it's just more fun as a fan to have a little context, have a little familiarity with these teams. Odds to win the whole thing, you know, you can kind of throw a blanket over Texas, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, Georgia, all in that range here with some pretty short numbers, all 10 to 1 or lower. The lowest, Ohio State and Texas, look, depending on where you shop, 7 to 1. Notre Dame is in there also at 7 to 1. So it's really those 5 or 6 teams. I've mentioned this before. Georgia's the team I like. There's two teams I like. If I had to bet, I'd be torn between the two. I like Georgia's team and I like their schedule. And I just think they're going to be better defensively. And remember, back-to-back national championships, and they were going into the SEC title game that year, Florida State and Alabama. There was the controversy 2023. They got upset there, and just the way the playoff broke, they got left out where they might have had the best team there. And Georgia, Michigan, a rematch for the year before, would have been a hell of a final. 2 years in a row now, actually 3 years in a row if you include that. You know, they lose in the Sugar Bowl, they lose in the quarterfinals to Notre Dame, a game where they didn't have any offense, they turned the ball over. And then last year, they couldn't get a stop, and they let a game get away from them. They never should have lost to Ole Miss. Sounds like they're going to be better defensively. They are anywhere from 9-10 to 1 to win the whole thing. And they've always got a bunch of weapons. They've always got a bunch of, you know, running backs and tight ends. They return the quarterback. I think Georgia at 9-1 and plus 320 at FanDuel to win the SEC is, you know, is a good bet here. And Stockton, you know, if you're a believer in that, Stockton around 18-20 to 1 to win the Heisman, I don't think is a worse bet. And the other one's Miami, just because the path is there. And that is November 7th against Notre Dame in Notre Dame in South Bend. That's going to be a fun game with everything that happened last year. The history of the Catholics versus Comets, there's going to be a lot of juice to that game. But, and I know Cristobal has a habit of losing games he shouldn't lose, but that schedule and the ACC, and it's funny, they've never won an ACC championship for, you think of Miami and all the dominant teams, and they're the short shot this year. And were a play or two away from winning the championship last year and the national championship. They didn't make the ACC title game last year, but their path is very conducive for them being like a one-loss team, you know, two losses at most maybe, and then they're in the playoff and they have a lot of talent. So Miami at 11-1, Georgia around 9-1. Those would be the two. I'd be torn between the two. I guess I would lean towards Georgia just because I trust Smart more than I trust Cristobal. Although Cristobal, you got to start to... I know when you take knee, you don't take knee when you're supposed to, and it happens twice, you're going to get a rep as a bad big game coach. I think some of that was put aside last year. He won, you know, he upset Ohio State in a close game. He won a close game against Ole Miss in the semifinals. So maybe some of that's behind him, but, you know, some of it probably still fair. So high on Georgia, high on Miami. I know people have made the case Fresno State is a sleeper to get in the playoff, which is the one thing, or one of the things that's fun about the 12-team playoff. And by the way, 12 is perfect. 12 is more than enough. 12 is just top four get a bye. We don't need 24. We don't need to just keep multiplying it. But you know what? Nobody's going to listen to me. It's all about ratings and money and just having more inventory. That's why you see all these playoffs expand. Whether it's Major League Baseball adding wild cards, NBA adding play-in teams. NFL goes from a sixth playoff team to a seventh. About six and 16 games was more symmetrical. But, I mean, you get the idea. These sports are all adding more playoffs, more inventory just because the money is so enticing, which, you know, I understand. And at the end of the day, it is more games to watch and more games to bet. So that aspect I like. But with the 12-team playoff, you're going to get a group of five team that's in. I know a couple of years ago, like Texas State was a hot team at long odds. And, you know, they had their chances before they had a terrible second half of the season. But you're going to get teams. I know Phil Steele, we had on the VSiN weekend morning line with John Jastrzemski and I on Sunday. And he mentioned Navy at long odds where they played Notre Dame, but all the rest of their games are winnable. A lot of people, like I said, like Fresno State, think they return a lot of talent. I'll ask Tim here what he thinks in terms of some teams, but you can get a long price, and that really opens the door for one of these group of five teams to get in. We don't need two of them. Last year, we had two of them with Tulane and James Madison. Pretty much ruined the first round, and I get it. You can have blowouts, and we've had plenty of blowouts with the Power Five teams, with the Blue Bloods, but you put these little mid-major teams in, and they try to compete against the Oregons and the, you know, the better teams, the elite teams, the Blue Bloods. It doesn't end well, and it's not... It's really not, you know, worth the time. But as far as betting and getting them in the playoffs at long odds, that stuff I think is fun. That stuff I think is interesting. So excited to ask Tim about that. And you just look at some of these conferences. Big Ten, very competitive. Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, all in the 2-3-1 range. Ohio State +200, Indiana +270, Oregon +300, and then Michigan, everyone else 15-1 or longer. USC, Michigan, you get Penn State. Odds on teams, Texas, right around even money if you shop around, but some -120s out there for Texas Tech, who got all the crap in the world for the Sorsby situation, then doesn't get the benefit of Sorsby actually playing football for the team, but they're a big favorite in the Big 12. Sounds like they're head and shoulders above everyone else. I've heard people make a case for BYU. You know, Utah's got Dampier. He's a talented player. I know the Bear. I think Chris Felica likes Kansas State, so that's interesting. And I mentioned ACC has Miami -135 odds on. It's hard to trust Cristobal, but you got to figure they're going to probably be in the title game and probably be a favorite when you get there. So that's probably not one. It's not sexy, but you put that one in the account. You're probably happy come that first week of December when you have the conference championship games. You're probably happy you have that bet in the account because they'll probably, you know, be in the game and be a, who knows, 7-8 point favorite. It's a long way away, but I could certainly understand that frame of mind. And I've heard people make the case similarly for Texas Tech. We'll get to Tim Murray here in a second. Just quickly on baseball, I think the story now becomes the trade deadline, something we've talked about for a couple weeks. The Tigers playing very well. I'm not sure you're going to trade Skubal. The Red Sox, hot as all hell, talked about them last week. So you know, keep talking about this American League. The Mariners and the Yankees, the top of the board, very flawed. So the Red Sox, the Tigers, I would not be surprised either of those teams throwing the Orioles. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these teams made a run. It sounds like one of the big developments, it sounds like Mason Miller might be available, and that is one. He is going to get a lot of guys, or a lot of teams interested, because he can pretty much be an automatic three outs in the ninth inning in a big spot. You know, you push him for six outs. I know he doesn't have the postseason pedigree, and sometimes these guys, we saw it with Trevor Hoffman. We've seen big closers struggle in the playoffs, but his stuff is so good that, you know, whether it's the Yankees, who we'll see if they cough up the price prospect-wise to get him. Anyone could certainly use him, but that would be a welcomed addition for any team. So we'll see if he gets dealt. If you're the Padres, where are you going? What's the point of having this mediocre team with a great closer? I know you gave up a lot to get him a year ago, but maybe just cash in and get some bats, some pitching, and kind of trade him in for things you can use more right now. By the way, Yankees plus 230 to win the American League, Mariners plus 475, Rays plus 550, Rangers plus 750. Those numbers have all about stayed the same. The Guardians are 9-1. The Red Sox are down to 11-1. I think the best bet on the board, the Tigers at 25-1. I think that's a really good bet. Like I said, I mentioned Red Sox 22-1 last week. I would, if you told me right now, hey, I can only bet one thing, that Red Sox number has come down enough where I'd stay off that. I would go Detroit at 25-1. Assume they keep Skubal. Maybe they buy. You get in the playoffs and you got a lot of pitching. And remember, this team was odds on to win the division. A monster, I think minus 500 to make the playoffs. Something astronomical before the season. And maybe the fact that the AL Central is so watered down and the AL is so watered down that usually when you're this far under 500, you sell. But and you don't have a chance to make a run. But I think they've got a chance to make a run. And them at 25-1 is certainly interesting. So we'll keep an eye on the deadline. Baseball comes into center stage here. Football right around the corner, and we will do plenty of football here. College football, nobody better to discuss it than Tim Murray. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast and Should Have Bet More history as Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime and the College Football Betting Podcast joins us. Tim, I believe, I hope, I think you are the first Should Have Bet More podcast to do this show after you broke into a house. I believe it's your house, so it's not as bad as it sounds. But what was your morning like? And appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, so Will, you're a father, and you know every once in a while we get to play Joe Flacco. And what I mean by that is we get to be without our children, and it's glorious, right? We get free time. We can do whatever we want. Well, the one side effect of that is when you go and walk your dog and you go out of your garage and you forget your keys. And that is exactly what happened. And unfortunately, I did lock all my doors. So we had to go to plan B. We had to reach out to a neighbor. We had to get a ladder, climb up onto the roof, go to my balcony, and thankfully the slider to my bedroom was open. So yeah, first adventure of breaking into my own house, at least here in Las Vegas. I probably did this as a kid once or twice before, but those are for different reasons, for stories for another day. But yeah, a little out of breath, a little sweaty, but that's all right. We're ready to rock and roll and talk some football.
We've all done it, so I can't make fun of you. But what preventative measures? Giving the neighbor a key, hiding a key somewhere in your front yard. What adjustments can we make going forward?
I think the biggest thing is, and I think my wife and I just talked about this the other day, because, you know, sometimes you have to leave the house. You've got kids playing sports, and you always have that worry that you're going to leave the house, the dog's going to be inside, and you're not going to be able to get in. Thankfully, I was with my dog, so she was by my side, so I didn't have to worry about her being left inside the house. But yeah, I think the old giving the neighbor a spare key, probably a good preventative measure here, or just, you know, remember to bring my keys on the walk with the dog. But I'll say this, I guess the positives, two positives, if we're looking at a glass half full here. Number one, it's unseasonably cool today in Vegas. It was only like 88 degrees with cloud cover, so it wasn't 110 with the, you know, scorching sun blaring down on my ginger body. And number two, it wasn't the middle of the night. It might have been a little more suspicious if this situation unfolded, let's say, at midnight as opposed to 9:30 in the morning. So I'll look at it glass half full. We got into the house. I've got nice neighbors that were able to lend me a ladder. And, you know, I'm just going to be sweating profusely now for the next like 4 hours. That's okay.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's a nice segue, too, because it's a little cool here on the East Coast, too, and it's nice to have a nice day. And it just, even though, you know, we're still middle of July and we're a decent bit away from football, it makes you feel like football's in the air. We're a cool breeze. You think about putting a hoodie on, and it's just, again, even though it's not like it's Labor Day, but you can smell, you can sense the football, and we're going to do a lot of college football. Also, before we get into anything specific, Where are you at with your prep? What is your prep process like? It's so hard now. And it's a little easier this year maybe, but these teams, you basically start from scratch with a lot of them. It's like learning a whole new sport, a whole new language. Where are you with your prep? And what's a minute or two on how you do get ready for the season?
Yeah, and you mentioned it, and I think you're right. You know, this year I do think is a little bit easier than previous years with the portal because there was no spring portal. So what happened at the normal portal era, portal time, excuse me, is going to carry over. So there's not too much confusion, but you're still learning, you know, new rosters and thinking about where, you know, obviously quarterbacks are vital of where they are, you know, coaching changes, all of that. But yeah, for me right now is we're about 6 weeks out from the start of the season. You know, big thing for me is running through schedules. You know, I've hit my early win totals and now I'm kind of circling back and I added a couple of more win totals this week. You know, I don't know about you, we can get into it. I don't tend to play a ton of game of the year lines. I know there are some super sharp bettors that we know that love to bang the GOYs, and that's totally fine. Right now for me, I'm looking at some futures. I'm looking at win totals. I'm looking at situational spots too. You know me, I love to find my situational spots. So I'm looking through a lot of these schedules, Will, and trying to figure out, all right, where's a letdown spot? Where is a look ahead spot? So that's kind of my second comb through now. Now that I feel, you know, relatively comfortable on some of these, on most of these rosters, I'm looking at a lot of the schedules and, you know, once again, kind of circling back through, we could talk about it, but Florida State was a team that me and your colleague, the Bear, Chris Felica, talked about, and looking at their schedule a second time through, I'm like, wow, that is a really challenging schedule for Florida State with a roster that is really not that impressive. So, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I didn't miss anything glaring and trying to be as comfortable, Will, on these top teams as possible. So, you know, is there a team that could potentially do what Indiana did a year ago, which is, you know, be in that 50-60-1 range and make a run to the national championship? So that's where I'm at right now. And then, you know, I think these next couple of weeks is really kind of locking in and make sure I know everything there is to know about, especially these P4 teams, but even some of the high level G6 teams.
Let's start at the top here. Let's start with the national title. And it's an interesting odds board because there's, what, 5-6 teams here, all with single digits. And you can kind of throw a blanket over Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oregon, Indiana, all in like that 7-8-1 range. Georgia a little bit longer. Does, in Oregon, I think I mentioned them. Any of those stick out to you? Is this odds board look right? If you had to bet any of those 5 or 6 teams, is anybody worth a bet?
Yeah, so I've said, and I'm curious your thoughts, I've said a long time that I believe that the champion's going to come from the top 7 on the odds board. So I do think Miami is championship worthy. You know, we'll see. They obviously lost a good chunk when you think about Reuben Bain and Akeem Mezidor off the edge, lost a decent amount on the offensive line, but I think they upgrade at the quarterback position. You know, you bring in Cooper Barkate as well to come along with Mensah from Duke, and you retain both your coordinators, which I think was certainly a big thing here for Miami under Mario Cristobal. The worry, obviously, with Mario Cristobal year in and year out is, are they going to lose that game they're not supposed to lose? Right now, when you look at their regular season schedule, Will, they're only going to be an underdog in one game, and that's a non-conference game at Notre Dame on November 7th. But I do right now draw a line under Miami. I would be surprised if a team outside of that 7 wins the national championship. And, you know, Indiana, I think at this point, deserves the benefit of the doubt basically every single time just because of what Kirk Cignetti has done. I think you're seeing that reflected in the odds board right now with them being at 8-1. I would probably have them just a hair low. I think Oregon's, in my opinion, a little bit better than Indiana. You know, once again, we're splitting hairs on that. But for me, if I were to make a bet, the two teams I would look at would be Oregon or Georgia in that 8-850 range. We'll start with Oregon. I think defensively they're loaded. You bring back Dante Moore. Wide receiver room is very, very strong. questions about the offensive and defensive coordinator, right? I don't love the fact that Tosh Lupoi left, their defensive coordinator, go to Cal. Will Stein left to go to Kentucky. So you do have new coordinators. Granted, they're both homegrown, so they're both promoted from within. But I think the worry I have a little bit with Oregon is the fact that they don't have continuity at their coordinator position with two new coordinators coming in. And then Georgia, as crazy as this sounds, and you know, I was talking to a couple of people from behind the counter, Will, it feels like Georgia, despite the fact that they've won the SEC the last 2 years, they get bounced in the quarterfinals in the past 2 years as well. They lose to Notre Dame 2 years ago and then Ole Miss a year ago. It feels like this team's kind of flying under the radar, which is a little crazy to say. But you look at Georgia, I think defensively they're going to be one of the best defenses in the country. Schedule-wise, you do have a trip to Alabama, which will certainly be a challenge, a trip to Ole Miss in early November. They avoid Texas this year in the schedule. The non-con is pretty manageable with Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, and then their rivalry game to wrap up the regular season. So I think Georgia, as crazy as it sounds, because we've seen three consecutive Big Ten teams win the national title, I think Georgia, for me, is the one that I've kind of circled, Will, that I want to go back, make sure I'm not missing anything, because I think they're a team that is a little bit under the radar this year, even though very much entrenched in that top six or seven. I think they're the best team in the SEC. The odds reflect that. And Texas is getting all the buzz with Arch Manning and you know what they were able to do, bringing in Cam Coleman from Auburn and Hollywood Smothers from NC State. But I think for me, it would be Oregon or Georgia if I had to make a bet right now on a future, to win the national title.
Yeah, and you and I, whatever show we're doing or whatever sport we're discussing, we often share a brain. Georgia, and two teams come to mind for me. Georgia, you mentioned it, the schedule, probably defense a little bit better, where last year they never should have lost that game to Ole Miss.
Yep.
2 years ago against Notre Dame, even that you look at the box score, man, that was a game.
Yeah, it was a crazy game.
Yeah, it was. It was more of a coin flip game. I think it sounds like they're going to be better defensively. They always have a ton of weapons on offense, and if you look at the schedule, they avoid Texas. They avoid A&M. They avoid LSU. They get Oklahoma at home. At Alabama, at Ole Miss, if you can split those and just take care of business otherwise, you're in good shape. A one-loss SEC team in the SEC championship, you know, you're going to have a shot. So I'm with you. You get your quarterback back. Always a bunch of weapons. Better defensively. I think Georgia is flying under the radar. And Miami's the other one where
yeah.
I just think their path there and their overall talent. Sounds like Cristobal, from a talent base, has that team going in the right direction. And, man, not to cry about old bets, but having long, long tickets on them last year, they really, from a box score standpoint, played very well against Indiana and, you know, could have, maybe even should have won that game. The block punt, they supposedly had a fake or a trick play set up on one of the punt returns, couldn't get home. But tough one there. We'll see if they bounce back. We'll do more with Tim Murray. Should have bit more podcast. VEASAN, we'll be right back. All right, we're back. Should have bit more podcast. Tim Murray, VEASAN Primetime, college football betting podcast, which I highly recommend. Good way to get caught up for the football season, to be ready to go once the games kick off. All right, Tim, let's look at some of these conferences. Let me know if you had to, we'll do the exercise. If you had to bet something, mm-hmm. You know, $100 free bet, whatever you want to call it, where you'd go. ACC, Miami odds on, -120, -130 in that range. Everyone else 7-1 or longer, starting with SMU and Louisville. Vatek 25-1. Weird to see Clemson at the 16-1 range for an ACC title, but my, how the times have changed. Anything here you like?
So I do think the odds are accurate in the sense that Miami should be the odds-on favorite. Would I bet Miami at $1.36, -136? Absolutely not. Look, this is a program that obviously has elevated under Mario Cristobal. The run last year to the national championship was very impressive, but you got to remember, didn't even make the ACC championship game with those funky tiebreakers. So this is a program, little fun fact, that has never won the ACC. So they are the odds on Amazing. Favorite, but they have never won this conference dating back to, I believe, 2004 is when they entered it. So I would say a medium shot and a long shot. If you, once again, playing the Will Hill game, which is one of my favorites, if you had a free bet, I would look at Louisville and I would look at NC State. Let's look at Louisville real quickly. They open up the season and you saw sharp guys come in and lay or take the 7.5 and the 7 with Louisville week one against Ole Miss. I'm hoping to get back to 7 because I really like Jeff Brohm as an underdog, but that's a big spot there, but it's non-con game. How about week three? They host SMU. SMU right now, the second shot to win this conference. Louisville gets them at home. And then the next big game, in my opinion, for Louisville is going to be October 3rd on the road at NC State. Outside of that, Will, they don't play Miami and they don't play Clemson and they don't play and they get Pitt at home. So when you're looking at the odds board here, it's not the easiest slate, but it is manageable for Louisville with SMU going to Louisville and they have to go on the road to NC State. Lincoln Kienholz is their quarterback. He's an unknown. He was a guy, if you believe the reports, he was right there with Julian Sayin a year ago in the competition at Ohio State. So I think a medium shot, if I were to play the Will Hill game of a free bet, would be Louisville. And then the long shot would be NC State at 22-1 or somewhere in that ballpark. And a lot of it has to do with the schedule. Now, they get a bit of a bad beat, if you will, because they were supposed to play week zero neutral site in Brazil. Instead, that's going to be a true road game at Virginia. So a challenge right out of the jump here for NC State. But outside of that, Will, we mentioned the Louisville game. They get Louisville at home. They do not play Miami. They do not play SMU. They do not play Clemson. This is a team that, let's say they split Virginia and Louisville with one loss, NC State is looking in decent shape. They get Cal at home, which is always kind of a weird travel spot. They do have to go to Stanford on a Friday night. But NC State with CJ Bailey back at 22-1. I can't remember, Will, if you were someone who had a Louisville ticket a couple years ago based off of their schedule. They got to the ACC championship, lost it to Florida State. But if you get to a championship game and you're sitting on a 20-plus-to-1 ticket, you're in decent shape. So I think schedule-wise, returning quarterback, NC State would be my longer shot in the ACC. Them and Louisville would be the two looks for me from an odds standpoint.
Big 12, we have another pretty clear-cut favorite here in Texas Tech. We've heard plenty about this offseason, and it's funny. It was your podcast or somebody else, they were making the point. Texas Tech, what a brutal situation. You got all of the hate, all of the scorn from everybody about the Sorsby situation. They didn't even get Sorsby to play for you, so you took all this crap for nothing. But their odds on Utah 7-1, BYU in the 6-1 range, everyone else starting with Houston like 16-1 or longer. I guess you got Kansas State 14-1 range. Is there value anywhere here in the Big 12?
Look, I think Texas Tech, there still is value on them. If you can find them at even money, there were a couple of shops that were like plus 105, plus 110. I've got an even money ticket in pocket. Right now, it's my biggest position of the offseason. And once again, let's talk about Texas Tech. They're the best team in the conference from a skill standpoint. Yes, they don't have Brendan Sorsby, but Will Hammond, from all reports, whether we believe it or not, is ahead of schedule in his rehab with his ACL situation. And then let's talk schedule here. This is ridiculous how their schedule plays out. They get, if you look at the odds board, Will, they avoid BYU, Utah, and Kansas State. Those are 2, 3, and 4 in the odds board in the Big 12. Then it's Houston, Arizona, Arizona State, TCU on the odds next. All four of those teams go to Lubbock. So the most challenging road game they have this year, a team that pound for pound, in my opinion, is the most talented team in this conference with or without Brendan Sorsby, is Oklahoma State. And they're a big unknown with all of the pieces coming in from North Texas. Obviously, a lot of excitement regarding their quarterback and Drew Mestemaker. So I still think there's value at even money or better on Texas Tech to win this conference, because the end of the day, Will, if they get to a Big 12 championship game, which if they don't, it would be an utter disaster, you have yourself a decent opportunity whether to full-on hedge or try to middle it, because Texas Tech, from a power rating standpoint on a neutral, should be favored against BYU, Utah, Kansas State, etc. Then, if you want a little bit of a longer shot, and I know second time we're mentioning him, our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica, has a Kansas State ticket. I can't remember what price he got. They're around 14-15-1. I bet them over 7.5 wins, Will. Look at their schedule. Non-con, all three games at home, FCS team, Washington State, and then Tulane. And then when you're looking at a team in a Kansas State, you want your toss-up games to be at home, right? You want the games where you're the superior team to be on the road. Well, guess what? They play Cincinnati, Colorado, and Iowa State all on the road. Those are the three worst teams in the Big 12 based off the odds. They get Houston at home. They get Oklahoma State at home. They get Arizona at home. They do have a road trip to TCU, which will be a challenge later on in the season. I played over 7.5 wins on Kansas State. Still available for those in Vegas or, you know, coming out for signing up for contests at Stations Casino at minus 160 to the over. But I think at 14, 15 to 1, if you want a longer shot in the Big 12, K-State could be worth a look there.
BYU is a team I know a lot of people. I think Chris Massaro, a friend of the show, professional bettor, does a great job with futures. I think Matt Humans is on BYU too. What, do you have a thought or two here in the last couple minutes on BYU?
Yeah, BYU. I mean, look, BYU, I'm concerned a bit about their talent. I mean, you saw when they punched up how TCU kind of handled them a year ago. So, you know, schedule-wise, they play Notre Dame at home. I know Paul Stone, professional handicapper, likes BYU in the game of the year market there. Catching 10.5 at home. Certainly don't disagree with that. I think schedule-wise, you get at TCU, at Utah. So a couple of challenges there, but yeah, I mean, to your point about our buddy Chris Massaro, he does like Bear Bachmeyer to win the Heisman Trophy. I wouldn't go that far, but I understand at 75 to 1 or so why he's worth a shot in the dark. Look, they're always going to be buttoned up. BYU is. They're always going to be, you know, ready to go. I'm not all the way there. I think the talent level is just not there. You lose a bunch of big time wide receivers. One of your receivers got kicked off the team too. So you lose your defensive coordinator as well to Michigan. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there with me. So I'm not raring to jump in on BYU at that, you know, 7 or 8 to 1 shot there to win the Big 12.
Last minute or two, do you have a thought on the Heisman? Anyone you've bet, anyone you would bet if you know you had a...
Yeah, I'll just say this. I've been saying it a lot. This is the year of the quarterback. I think this is going to be a really fun discussion to look at when it comes to the Heisman Trophy race. If you're looking at short shots, you know, personally, look, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I don't think there's much value in CJ Carr at 7 to 1. I think you'll be able to get a similar number later on in the season. I think curiosity, certainly with Darian Mensah, at Miami. But man, you go down that board, look, I'm always going to be partial to a guy like Devin Dampier at 72 to 1, and here's a name I haven't bet yet, but I'm going to look for some long odds. He's going to be the guy that I'm going to try to see if I can will at home. It's Lincoln Kienholz right out of the gate, Louisville's quarterback, who's an unknown. He's around 100 to 1 or so. You get a high profile game on Labor Day weekend against Ole Miss. You win that game. Those odds get shortened. Then week 3, you play SMU at home. You win that game. Where are we looking at the odds? So if I'm looking for a long bomb, I'm probably looking at someone like Lincoln Kienholz, a true dual threat type of quarterback. I think there's a lot of intrigue there for me on the Louisville quarterback with the schedule that we laid out already. But early season high profile games, where if you have a 100 to 1 ticket, that number is going to be way down if they win those two games.
And you know what I like too is we'll be back here in a minute with Tim Murray. Should have bet more podcast, VCN Sports Betting Network. I like that. And we mentioned having to learn this sport from scratch. This is a year where, all right, we know Chambliss at Ole Miss. We know Dante Moore at Oregon, the Ohio State quarterback, Notre Dame quarterback. There's a lot of familiar Mateer at Oklahoma where you and I are diehards, and a lot of people listening probably diehards, but there's a lot of people that are just, you know, average college football fans that, man, who's on what team? Arch Manning on Texas. You actually come into the season with where you don't have to start over, where you run into this problem in college hoops too, where there's a little familiarity. And I do think that helps, where you could turn a Texas game on, a Georgia game on, some of these teams, these marquee teams, and you know who the quarterback is. You have some frame of reference. I think that helps, just familiarity of the sport, enjoyment of the sport. I think all of that is a good thing. And I think this year, it's not like you have to completely learn from scratch. We will wrap up. Tim Murray, VSiN Primetime College Football Betting Podcast. We'll finish up on the other side. Stick around. Should have bet more podcast. All right, we're back. Wrapping up. Tim Murray, VSiN Primetime. All right, let's run through some more of these conferences. Big Ten, you got three teams you can kind of throw a blanket over in terms of being favorites. Ohio State, 2 to 1. Indiana, plus 260. Oregon in the 3 to 1 range. Everyone, you know, kind of 15 to 1 or longer. Always shop around, of course, for the best price. Is there a bet to be made here, Big Ten?
So I would say this, of the three favorites, Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, if you were to bet those teams, I would just prefer to bet them to win the title, right? You're getting longer shot odds. It tends to be a bit of a crapshoot based off of tiebreakers and how it all plays out. Ohio State's got a really challenging schedule. So I think Ohio State at plus 180, I would not bet that. I'd rather bet them at 6 to 1, 650 or so to win the title, because we've also seen, let's be honest, you know, Ryan Day in Ohio State, do they really care about winning the Big Ten? Maybe because they haven't won in a couple of years. So No real interest there. I think if you wanted to make a case for a team like Penn State based off of the schedule and at 20-1 or so, you could potentially have them going into the championship game. Certainly of interest there. When you look at Penn State's schedule, you know, their most difficult game is going to be either on the road at Michigan or on the road at Washington. They do not play any of the big boys. They don't play Oregon, Indiana, or Ohio State. They get USC at home. I think that's a really great spot, by the way, for Penn State to take on USC. USC, I believe, will, you know, obviously be traveling, but they'll be coming off of, I believe, Oregon and Washington games at home. So I think if you were to make a case for a long shot here, just based off of the schedule, Will, it would be Penn State. But for me, when I look at the Big Ten, I think Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon all have a shot to win the title. So I would much rather bet them to win the national title than win the Big Ten.
This is one I do have an opinion on, and you and I have touched on it. Georgia, the short shot in the SEC, plus 280 or so. You can shop around, you could probably find a 3-1. Texas also 3-1. I just think Georgia with that schedule, I don't quite trust Texas. I know Arch played better second half of the year. I got a pretty good amount of confidence Georgia's going to be in the SEC title game. And you know what? If you get me 3-1 on a team that's going to be in the SEC title game and, you know, very possibly favored, to me, that's a play. Do you like them for this market? Do you like another team? Or what are you looking at here, SEC?
No, I think the point that you make is a great one. I do think the SEC championship means something. You know, think back to last year, Georgia absolutely dominating Alabama in that SEC championship game, won it 2 years ago, of course, too, when Carson Beck got hurt and Gunnar Stockton stepped in. But yeah, at the price that's out there in that almost 3-1 range, I actually do think Georgia is worth a look here. You think at the difference between the Big Ten, where you're looking at teams in that, you know, 2-1 plus 250 range, you're getting better odds on Georgia. And I think a lot has to do, obviously, with Texas being as talented as they are, and just the loaded nature of that conference. But I think this year, Will, as we touched on earlier in the show, you look at the Georgia schedule, it's rather manageable. The most challenging game is on the road at Alabama. I'm not that high on Alabama this year, but still going on the road to Tuscaloosa won't be easy. But, you know, once again, you're avoiding Texas, you're avoiding Texas A&M, you're avoiding LSU. You do have to play Ole Miss, but that's a bit of a revenge spot from a year ago. And, you know, call me skeptical, but I am skeptical about Pete Golding being a first-time head coach. I love Trinidad Chambliss. I love Kawan Lacey. But, you know, Georgia on the road November 7th, where is that, you know, Ole Miss team going to be? So I am going to look around. And as of right now, Will, as of recording, I only have one conference future, and that's Texas Tech at even money to win the Big 12. But I think I'm going to look around and try to find the best price, to be honest, on Georgia, because I think if I can get 3-1 on them to win the SEC, I do think that's worth a bet based off of their schedule, talent, and let's be honest, Kirby Smart is the master of motivation, and he's going to absolutely love the fact that everybody out there is talking about the Big Ten, talking about Notre Dame, talking about Texas, talking about Miami. Georgia, somehow, some way, is slipping under the radar despite the talent that is on that roster.
What I like about the 12-team playoff, and I actually think the 12 is perfect. You could quibble with a group of five teams getting in there, but I actually like, from a betting standpoint, you can get some long numbers if you hit on these group of five teams.
Yeah.
Last year it was too many with two getting in. That one you can make the case. It was too many because there wasn't a dominant team. And I think that the 12 teams allows for the dominant, you know, group of five, the Miami, Ohio with Roethlisberger, that kind of team to get in. That being said, from a betting standpoint, we know somebody's going to get in here. You get a plus price and a nice plus price on some of these teams. I think I heard you and some other people mentioned Fresno State. We had Phil Steele on Sunday on VEASAN Weekend Morning Line. He mentioned Navy at long odds. What are some sleepers from the group of five that you think could sneak in and be a playoff team?
Yeah, I had Phil Steele on my podcast, and he was very high on Navy. I'm not there. I'm not the one to disagree with Phil Steele, but look, I was fortunate enough to be on the Navy broadcast team for 3 years, and you know, it's a well-run program, obviously. I don't expect him to drop off, but you know, you lose a pro player in Eli Heidenreich, you lose a pro defensive lineman, you lose your quarterback. I just become a little bit skeptical of some of the losses there. But yeah, when you look at the group of five this year, it does feel wide open, right? You know, the American, I don't think there is one clear-cut team. Navy has the shortest odds at plus 650. I would look a little bit lower. You know, the Mountain West is certainly of interest. You know, I am frustrated that that conference split apart the way that it did. Boise State is going to be your favorite in the new Pac-12, but at plus 450, are you going to be jumping in on Boise State when they are expected to lose week one to Oregon? So I think UNLV at 12-1 is interesting. They've got two challenging games right out of the jump, Will, where they have Memphis at home in week zero, and then they have to go on the road to Hawaii. But what about New Mexico? New Mexico brings back a lot. They're at 13-1 to make the college football playoff as well. So for me, I would look a little bit further down the board if I were to make a play on the group of five. I would look at maybe a UNLV, maybe a New Mexico, someone like that to potentially emerge there. I think Boise State at plus 450, Navy plus 750. I don't think there's enough meat on the bone for me to go in that direction. So we'll see, because, you know, you could also look at it this way, Will. You know, week one, Boise State plays Oregon. They're a 24-point underdog. They're going to lose that game. Is that when you want to jump in on Boise State? Maybe you watch how they look and you can determine whether or not that's a playoff-worthy team. Those odds aren't going to get better based off of that week one performance against Oregon. Navy, on the other hand, they've got some time as the season plays out. They play Notre Dame on Halloween at Gillette Stadium, so they'll lose that game. So you could wait, I would say, in my opinion, on Navy and a team like Boise. You know, UNLV, I think, has a shot early on in the season. If they win those two toss-up games against Memphis and Hawaii, for their odds to shorten decent amount there. So UNLV and New Mexico probably would be the two teams I would look at in the group of five market.
Last couple minutes here. Favorite win totals. Just give me two or three of them here. Just maybe 30 seconds on a few that you like.
Yeah, I'll go through them pretty quickly. Florida State, under 6.5, Circa has it at minus 165. Yes, it is a bit pricey. I do think Florida State has the potential to completely fall apart. And when you look at their schedule, Will, first and foremost, I don't love the talent that's on their roster. They're going with Ashton Daniels as their starting quarterback. They play SMU in week one. They go on the road to Alabama in week three. And then when you look at the odds board, Will, they play the seven top teams in the ACC. This year, they play SMU, Virginia, Louisville, Miami, Clemson, Pitt, and NC State. Their only team that is low in the conference would be Boston College, and that's on the road in November, which could get weird. And I do think if Florida State gets off to a slow start, this has the potential of spiraling out of control. So under 6.5 for Florida State. On the flip side, alluded to it already, Kansas State over 7.5 is one of interest to me. You know, you could get that around minus 160-ish. Or so. I think this is a team in Kansas State that it has the potential to win 8 or 9 games in year one under Colin Klein. Schedule really plays out well. They don't play the three big boys that we talked about. All three non-conference games are at home. They'll be favored in all three of those non-conference games. So I think with Avery Johnson back, maybe a bit of a buy low chance. Remember, he was so hyped 2 years ago. He was 25-1 preseason when the Heisman 2 years ago, Will, and now he's like 80-1. The guy that recruited him is back in Colin Klein, so over 7.5 for Kansas State. And then one more, if you go to the group of five, a little more palatable juice, if you will. You mentioned it, Fresno State. I think Fresno State, you know, early on, they're going to lose to USC, but this is a team, when I look at their schedule, Will, I think Fresno State has the chance to win 8 or 9 games and maybe even vie for the Pac-12 championship. And I'll say this real quickly to your listeners out there. Make sure you go to a book that includes the flex game in the win total for Pac-12 teams, all right? So the last game of the season right now is TBD for all of these Pac-12 teams. We don't know who you're going to play. A book like DraftKings is only grading the win total on 11, but a book like Circa and BetMGM is grading it on 12. So make sure if you're betting a Pac-12 team over, that you get 12 games. If you're betting a Pac-12 team under, you get 11 games. So just keep that in mind there. But Fresno State gets that flex game at home. They get Boise State at home as well. The non-conference, I alluded to it. You do have USC, but they have winnable games against Sacramento State, San Jose State, and Rice. I think this is a 8-win team. I'm really a big fan of Matt Entz, the head coach there. And I think Fresno State has a chance to win that conference. So over 6.5 wins for the Bulldogs in the Valley for me.
Tim Murray successfully broke into his own house, broke down college football conferences, futures, win totals. Can't thank Tim enough. So rate, review, subscribe. I know Tim is good at getting those reviews in. I want some more of his reviews. So review his podcast, review ours. But appreciate you guys listening. We will be back on Wednesday. Remember, this podcast drops Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern. Thank you to Tim Murray. Thank you guys for listening. See you Wednesday.